There's some weird thing. I don't know if you caught the words, but there's some weird things that are being said out there from pulpits and stages and people and Christians and preachers all over the world. And every now and then there's something that gets said. It kind of is like, wait, what did you just say? I don't think God ever said that. That's something God never said. And so I'm excited to launch into a brand new 3-week sermon series called Things God Never Said. I believe there's going to be truth and life in what we're talking about in these weeks, and I hope you as well feel that. Kind of to go along with a little bit of what I was talking about earlier when it comes to worship, every time around this year, last night was no exception, I got tagged a few times, and a couple people pinned it to my profile or whatever that's called, put it on my profile, this particular quote, and there's some truth in it, that you should be as excited about church as about the Super Bowl. Right? And so when your pastor makes a good point this Sunday, pour Gatorade over his head. I want you to know that there's no amount of Gatorade in this world that's going to be enough for what I'm going to tell you today. And it's not because I'm great, it's because I'm speaking God's words and his truth. And his truth, his words are better than life. And God is going to do great things, but please no Gatorade. Please no shooting that at me or anything, because it's going to come quick and it's going to come at you this morning. You ready? So again, a 3-week sermon series called Things God Never Said. I don't know what you do when you are working out or exercising or driving to kind of fill the time, what you listen to. Some of you, I think you listen to like Kanye and Kesha and Lady Gaga and Swift and Bieber and all those people. I'm more holy than you. I listen to preachers. I listen to sermons. That's what I do. And every now and then I hear a particular sermon series or I hear a particular sermon. It's like, oh man, I think my people really need to hear that. And this was a particular sermon series that Craig Groeschel of Life Church TV preached about a couple of years ago. Then he's one of the preachers that I listened to. And I thought, man, that sounds really great. I think that would be really great for us to hear some of those words in here today. So I got to give a lot of the credit and inspiration of this sermon series to him. Some of his words are expressed in thoughts in here, but of course we've made it work for our context. And so 3 weeks on things God never said. A lot of us offer little nuggets of advice when people are in tough times or in trouble. And sometimes these nuggets, they're actually not true. And so when they're not true, it actually does more harm than good. And so we're going to look at 3 big cultural misbeliefs over the next 3 weeks. So next week, we're going to talk about one that's very important. People say all the time, it doesn't matter what you do as long as it doesn't hurt anyone. It doesn't matter what you do as long as it doesn't hurt anyone. A very dangerous lie that many people believe. And then the third week, maybe the most important of all the weeks, is something people have said, well, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you are sincere or as long as you do good things. We're going to talk about that and how important over the next 2 weeks. No, what you do matters and what you believe really matters as well. But today we're going to look at probably the most popular cultural misbelief, especially in our sort of Western version of Christianity. And it's this phrase that sometimes you hear people say, God wants you happy. That above all else, God wants you happy. And I would love with all my heart to be up here today, above all else, to say God wants you happy. God wants you to enjoy your life. God wants you to never have anything bad happen in your life. Because for you, bottom line, God wants you happy. And this is one of the big critical cultural mistakes that people talk and what they believe about God. They believe that above all else, God wants me happy. And so if you believe this, the problem is that leads you down a path of other lies and other misbeliefs. And so let me kind of just show you what I call the theology of happiness. That if you believe God's supreme goal for your life is your happiness, then here's what eventually will start to happen. If you're taking notes, number one, you believe that if God wants me happy above all else, then whatever makes me happy must be right, and whatever makes me unhappy must be wrong. In fact, Sheryl Crow even sang a song many years back. Maybe you've heard it. If it makes you happy, it can't be that bad. Something like that. That made me happy to sing that. You might not be happy hearing me sing that, but Yeah, not bad. I have some room for growth. But anyway, if we believe that God wants us happy, all else, then about number one priority, that's my number one thing, then whatever makes me happy must be right. Whatever makes me unhappy must be wrong. And so if you start believing that, number two, it'll lead you into discomfort or anytime you experience discomfort or delay or risk or suffering or even the slightest inconveniences or obstacles that come upon your life, you're going to look at those and think, man, what is wrong? If God's supreme goal for me is my happiness, then God must not be in what I'm doing here. He must not be a part of my life if all these bad things are happening. And then what that will lead you to, number three, is you will start to then worship the false gods of comfort and security and money and pleasure and things, and those, because those things do make you happy for a small amount of time, but you'll start chasing after those more and more comfort and peace and security and happiness of this world. That's what you will do. But here's the problem, that when we believe above all else God wants us happy, suddenly we are forced to believe that God exists to serve us. Do not miss this. God does not exist to serve us. We exist to serve God. Let me say that one more time. That's Gatorade worthy. God does not exist to serve us. We exist to serve God. That's why we're here. If God is just here to make me happy, suddenly we've made the creator and sustainer of the universe, and we've reduced him down to like this cosmic Coke machine that if I push this button and I put this amount in, that God, you now owe me this particular thing. And we reduce God down to this formula where maybe you've heard people say, you know, I've done these things. I've said my prayers. I went to church. I tried to do good things. I tried not to do bad things. God, therefore you ought to honor me. Like, I've done all these things. God, I put a little bit of money in the offering when it went by. I helped the old lady cross the street. I even dodged the cat that was in the road that I could have hit because I'm trying to do good things, God, right? I did all these things, God. And so you should answer my prayers. You should do your part. I've done my part. I've put the money in and I've pressed the button. Now, God, you should give me this. You should do this. And the tragedy of this misbelief is so many people are walking away from God for totally, completely wrong reasons because of wrong beliefs. They'll say things like, well, I tried church. I tried church and it didn't make me happy. I tried religion and it didn't work. I even went to an L team or a home group, but I still have cancer. My bills are still not getting paid. My kids are still a mess. I did all these things for you, God, and it didn't work out. It didn't make me happy. If you believe that God exists, number one, to make you happy, and then you're not happy, it forces you to believe that God didn't fail, or that God failed, but God didn't fail. You started with wrong presuppositions, which led you into a very dangerous place. And it would be great, and I might depress a few of you already at this point. I'll try to get you back by the end and give you happiness and hope and all this thing, but it might depress you to hear me say, well, God doesn't want me happy. Listen to this, though. I do believe genuinely that God delights in your happiness. Like a father or a mother delights in their children when they are happy, I genuinely believe that God has that same sort of happiness when his children are happy, that he's delighted in that. So both of my kids right now are in basketball, and I love to watch them play. And when either one of my sons make a shot or they make a great pass, I can see my sons like beam with happiness. They run to the other side of the court with a little bit of swagger and sway. You know, it's like they got a little more confidence, and that's what they do. And I look at them and they're happy, and that makes me happy. But listen to me, their happiness is not always my number one priority. For example, if my son makes the winning basket in his game, and that's kind of impossible because in their leagues they don't keep score, but I do in my head. So I know if he made the winning basket or not. So let's just say if my son made the winning basket and then he went right over to the opposing bench and flipped them off. Guess what? I don't even know if they know how to flip off. They probably do. They go to public school, but just kidding. Well, I'm not kidding. They do go. But if they were to go do that, guess what? Their happiness is not my highest priority at that time. My highest priority is, son, you better get over here and let's have a talk about what just happened. But I think a lot of us do that with God. Well, hey, he should be happy for me no matter what. No, he's not happy when you're flipping everybody off all the time. That's why I'm going to argue with all my heart that God does not want us to pursue happiness. He wants us to pursue Him. Amen. He wants us to pursue Him. We don't pursue Him for the byproduct of happiness. We're not pursuing Him, so therefore we'll get all these other things that come along with Him. And that's the big lie of the happiness gospel or the prosperity gospel that reduces God down to a formula. It says, you do these things, then God will do this for you. That's the big lie of it. And too many people then start pursuing God, not because of Jesus, but because of the things they might one day get from God. They've thought and they've been taught that they're going to get certain things from God, but that's not why we serve God. That's not why we worship God. We don't worship God to get other things from Him. No, I worship God to get Jesus. Jesus is my prize. The things of God are not my prize. If I have Jesus and I have nothing else, I have enough. So today what I want to do is I really want to dispel this myth about God. I want to show you two specific reasons why God doesn't want you happy. And so number one, if you're taking notes, this is important. God doesn't want you happy when it causes you to do something wrong or unwise. He doesn't want you happy when it causes you to do something wrong or unwise. So many people do something they believe is going to make them happy. We're going to enjoy this, and yet it might be wrong or unwise. It very well is wrong or unwise. For years now, we've been telling our kids, do not jump on in the bed. Right? For whatever reason, all kids love to jump on beds. And let's be honest, we would love to do it as adults as well. It's just fun to jump on the bed. But we have instructed them that as fun as it is and as happy as it makes you to jump on said bed, it is unwise to do that particular thing. We've even invented another song, right? Five little monkeys jumping on the bed. One jumped off and knocked his head. Mama called the doctor and the doctor said,
no more monkeys jumping on the bed.
Very good. That's my last song today, I think. We've made up this stuff to train them that it is not appropriate, it is unwise to jump on the bed, but kids still want to jump on the bed. And have you ever seen kids jumping on a bed? They are so happy, right? They are exhilarated, they're laughing, they're having a good time, they start getting pillows and start attacking each other, and then it escalates and they start having like jumping off points that are soft and fluffy, and they start jumping off, and so almost to the point, even though I know it's unwise, if I see my kid doing that, I'm like, come on honey, can't they just do it for a couple minutes? Their happiness is making me happy, to which she says, no, it's not appropriate. It's not really what Allison says, but anyway. They're so happy when they do it, but it's unwise. Why is it unwise? Because they can get hurt. Brady got hurt once. He had to go to the doctor, the emergency room, because he gashed open the back of his head from jumping off the bed. Even though we told him, no jumping on the bed. And then there was one time I went home and there was some commotion from his room. And so we walked in and it was not just the two of them, but a friend of theirs. It was over and the three of them were jumping on the bed. They were having a good time. And so I didn't want to say it, but I had to say it. Guys, no more jumping on the bed. And when kids hear no more anything, they start negotiating with you. Three more times, Dad? No, no more. Two more, Dad? No. One more? Fine, one more. It's usually how it works in my house. And so on their last jump, literally, they jump onto the bed to come off and the entire bed frame snaps. And so we have literally paid hundreds of dollars in doctor's bills and in a new bed frame because kids are jumping on the bed. It may make them happy, but my wallet's not happy, and so I'm not happy. Right? God doesn't want you to be happy when it causes you to do something wrong or unwise. There is a way that seems right to man, Scripture says, that ultimately leads to death. Jumping on a bed will lead to death every time. In case there's kids here. 1 Peter 1:15 says, just as he who called you is holy, so be happy in all that you do. Oh, wait, what? Did I say that wrong? Because that's how we want to say it, right? Just as he who called you is happy, be holy in all that you do. Be happy in all that you do. That's what we want to say. But no, God says, just as he who called you is holy, be holy in all that you do. God has made you holy. He has set you apart. He doesn't want you to do the unwise or the wrong, sinful things. Let me give you a few examples. Like, I've done a lot of weddings for friends and church members. And before that, I always strongly encourage, hey, let's do some premarital counseling together. And as we sit down, one of the very first things we talk about is, hey, this is a covenant relationship you're entering into. You are saying, and you are vowing before the other person, and not just the other person, not just in front of me, but before God, that for better, for worse, right? And you can go through the whole list, that we are in this together no matter what happens. That's what we're doing, for better, for worse. This is a till death do us part sort of thing. And yet a lot of us know people that have gotten married, and then years later you might see them and say, hey, how's your wife? Oh, well, we're not married anymore. We got divorced. Well, why? I don't know. I wasn't happy. She wasn't happy. We weren't happy. And so we got a divorce. And it always hurts my heart to hear that. And I don't bring this up today because I know a lot of you have been through this to make you feel guilty, because a lot of you know the pain and you know the what comes from divorce. And I'm not trying to bring guilt back into your life. God has redeemed you and He's set you free. He's given you grace for those things. And every circumstance is different. I certainly understand that. But why I'm bringing it up today is because I believe genuinely there's enough people in this room that you are in the for worse part right now of your marriage. And what would be easy for you to do right now is to pull the plug and say, I'm not happy, I'm getting out. But God says, no, you work through the for worse to get to the better. You work through the for worse to get to the better, because I'm not concerned about your happiness, God says, as much as I am about your holiness. God is more concerned about your holiness than He is your happiness. And yet many of us, we genuinely believe God just wants me happy. And that belief system empowers us to act wrong and to do unwise things all the time. I've been working out for 2 weeks now, and I say this kind of just to, so you can see kind of the physical changes happening for you. Not really. I do this to kind of keep accountable to you. And I'm working out with a few guys, and we try to hold each other accountable with texts and some things during the weeks, not just in the workouts. And right now, what I want to do is, especially because it's Super Bowl and my team's never in it, and they've never been in it for a long, in fact, they've never been in it, actually. So what I tend to do is I get more excited about the food than the game, right? And so what I want right now is an entire block of Velveeta with Rotel cheese. And an entire bag of Tostitos family size scoops, so it's really easy and doesn't drip anywhere. That's what I want. That's not wise. I've never heard a doctor in the world say it is wise to have an entire block of 32 ounces of Velveeta. I've been told that the party I'm going to, actually, they have 3 blocks of it. It's going to take some serious restraint. That would make me happy. But it wouldn't be right. It'd be unwise. The list could go on and on. My spouse isn't meeting my needs, and I've got needs, so I'm just gonna look at this stuff. She's not making me happy. This will at least make me happy for the time being. Premarital sex, for those of you that are followers of Jesus, I want you to understand that the gift of lovemaking is an absolute gift from God that in its proper context is an absolutely amazing and beautiful thing. But there are many of you, even Christians, that are out there that are like, I don't care. It feels good. And I'm a man. I'm like a dog. I can't control myself. I got needs, bro. I got needs. What are you talking about? We're so in love, Pastor. I mean, after all, we're married in our heart. And it would make my body feel really good, by the way. And it's about making our bodies feel happy, right? And we justify doing the wrong thing because it makes us happy. A lot of us in our entertainment that we choose is kind of crazy, some of the stuff that we get entertained by. We can go to the movies and watch movies that are basically pure sin and pure filth, but it's funny. It's so funny, Pastor. So funny. It's filthy, but it's funny. And we justify it because it's funny. I was looking at Fandango at the movies coming out this week, and there's a movie called 50 Shades Darker. Some of you are groaning. This is the sequel, of course, of 50 Shades of Grey. And some of you, sadly, will go see this movie. And you've already read the book and you've read the mommy porn already. But some of you, no matter what I say, you're going to see it. And I say this kind of sarcastically, but not completely. But there should not be a hint of sexual immorality. Not a hint. And yet we're going to go watch unmarried couples engage in violent sex on a screen. That's not a good choice. And if you don't follow Jesus, some of you may not. You may want to make fun of me all day long, and I probably would too if I didn't follow Jesus for some of my stances. But if you're a follower of Jesus, you need to understand that we have a higher standard. God has called us to be holy in all that we do. And so if you go see it, go see it. But I'm going to pray to God that when you're watching that movie, you imagine me sitting right next to you. And I'm going to ask you, hey, can I have some of that popcorn? And I'm going to eat all your popcorn. And then when I ask for that popcorn, I'm going to look you right in the eyes and I'm going to say, are you happy? I hope I just ruined it for all of you. Don't spend the $10. You're going to see my big face in your face and eating all your popcorn. It's not going to be worth it because God does not want you happy when it causes you to do something wrong or unwise. Be holy in all that you do as I am holy. Second reason, if you're taking notes, and I say that because there might be one person taking notes out there. God bless you. God, there you go. I got a notepad right there. Good. Second reason. Actually, no, I'm not even there yet. Hang on. I got to get back to this. Oh, no, I'm here. Second time. God, I'm here. God doesn't want you happy when it's only based on the things of this world. He doesn't want you happy when it's only based on the things of this world. It's funny, if you watch secular advertising, late night television, there are three things that you would think would make you happy. It is a blanket with a holes in it. That's called a Snuggie. Miracle lotion that'll make me feel and look 22 again. And shake weight to stay in great shape. That's the formula on late night television. There's a formula that culture tells us this is how you become happy. You need better possessions, newer, faster, shinier, bigger, upgrades, whatever, plus peaceful circumstances, the absence of all conflict, plus thrilling experiences, the fun experience, the big hit, the big thrill, plus the right relationship. And if you're not right, I'll trade you in for someone different, newer, younger, whatever, plus a perfect appearance. And so if you got to tuck it or lift it or puff it or smooth it or shave it, whatever it takes. If you have all of these things, better possessions, peaceful circumstances, thrilling experiences, the right relationship, the perfect appearance, all of that equals what? Happiness, the world says. If you have all of that, you'll be happy. But let me tell you something. Happiness is based on happenings. And happenings change. That's why no one is really happy all the time in the things of this world, because they are simply counterfeits. They are not the real thing. It's like when I go to the grocery store, Allison tells me to go to the grocery store. And as a man, you have to always do two things. I don't know why, but you have to always do two things. Number one, you have to get the wrong thing. For whatever reason, I don't know why. And then secondly, because we're men and we're hunters, we have to come home with something extra that wasn't on the list. Makes us feel good and like we're men. And so this one day I went to the grocery store, and I love seafood, right? I love crab legs and lobster tails and shrimp and all this stuff. I love crab dip, but crab dip is so expensive at the restaurants. And I found out, and by the way, I hope at my party tonight there will also be crab dip. Yeah. And queso. It's not about my happiness. Just saying. But anyway, it's crab dip is like $10 at the grocery store, but at a grocery store, it's like $2 to $3. And so I remember buying it thinking, this is awesome. I can get crab dip for forever at this price. And so I took it home and I opened the top and I scooped something with it, and it tasted like 9-month-old mayonnaise with Spam inside of it. And I looked at the label and I saw that included in the ingredients was something called imitation crab meat. I don't even know what that is. I don't know how you make that. That's disgusting, though. But this is what the world does. If you get this, if you buy this, if you have this, if you upgrade this, if you trade this in, if you get the, then you'll be happy. Yet you're still not happy because God did not want you to be happy in the things of this world. I love what John says in 1 John 2, starting in verse 15. He says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. I want to pause there because that is an extremely convicting Bible verse. Because there, and when I preach, I'm not just preaching at you, I'm preaching to you, and I'm preaching to myself. Because I want you to know that sometimes the things of this world make me more happy than even God himself, and that's a tragedy. And that's why we paused a little while earlier to put things in perspective. Yeah, today's a Super Bowl, and that's fun, and you can be happy with whatever happens. Cool, good for you. But what a shame it would be if at the end of the day, after we were in the house of the Lord, did our thing, and then watched the game, if we were more excited and more happy about a football player than the one who made the football players himself. Sometimes I love the things of this world, and I have to check myself and say, man, because it makes some of those things make me happy, but I realize they're always a dead end. Might make me happy for a little while, but it's not going to fully satisfy me. John goes on to say, for everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires, they pass away. They're gone. But whoever does the will of God lives forever. God does not want you above all else to be happy when it causes you to do the wrong thing or something unwise. God does not want you happy when it's only based on the things of this world. That's not God's highest calling for you. Because I'm going to argue with all my heart that God does not want you happy as much as God wants you blessed. God has something far better than your temporal happiness. Happiness is based on happenings. A blessed life is based on His goodness and His presence no matter what's going on in your life. In fact, the Greek word that we translate blessed in English has more of a meaning to it. It means to be supremely blessed or to be more than happy. God wants you more than happy. There's another level that goes beyond happiness. Maybe it's called joy. God wants you joyful. The problem is, though, if I tell you that God wants you blessed, a lot of people think that means more money, perfect health, bigger house, but that's not always what the blessed life is. What the blessed life is, you know what? Sometimes you will have a bad day. Sometimes your kids will fight. Sometimes your car will break down. Sometimes you will get that zit on the tip of your nose right before prom. These things happen. It doesn't mean that God will answer all of your prayers the very moment that you pray it. What it means is that you can experience the goodness of God in the middle of whatever life throws at you, whether good or bad, for better, for worse. Your happiness and the blessings are not based on the perfect pain-free life. God never promises us that. In fact, what Jesus promised us is that, in fact, in this world, you will have trouble. But the promise right after says, but take heart. I have overcome this world. A lot of us are looking for the pain-free life where everything is great. And if we don't have it, we want to start blaming God because that's what we thought. That's how we thought the relationship with God worked out. But that's not how it works out. God wants to be in your life. He invites you into His. He says, I want to be active in your life. This world is filled with sin and brokenness. And it's because of that that I will be active in your pain-filled life. I will bless you even when you're going through trials. I will give you peace that the Bible says is unexplainable. Peace that passes all understanding. Peace that will guard your heart and your mind and your soul until the day of Jesus Christ. I will give you, God says, joy that the Bible says is unspeakable. I will do these things. I will give you, God says, supernatural strength when you feel weak. I will be with you in the trials, in the storms, in the worst part of your life. I will bless you. And some of you are going through those times right now. You're going through those times right now and it's tough, but you've got this inner sense of peace or joy or strength that you can't even explain where it comes from. In a moment, you could be going through something like this where you are having a loss of a loved one or battling cancer or marriage issues or kid issues or financial struggles, and your world can become crashing down all around you. But in a moment, if God speaks peace into your life, you will have peace. You will be blessed. That's what our God can do. I don't want to minimize the suffering that you're going through right now. In fact, the mature Christians, even if found a way to rejoice in our sufferings, because in our sufferings that produces perseverance, and that perseverance must be complete, so we're not lacking anything in Christ. God wants to be with you. He wants to engage with you. He is not distant. He has not forgotten you if things are bad in your world. And we can enjoy God as we pursue God and as we pursue His righteousness and His kingdom. Then He starts adding these things unto us. He starts blessing us in ways we never thought were possible. I had a couple people that came up to me after last service and said, your message was right on, because I had this horrific thing happen in my life, and that is where I met Jesus. Some of you would not have chosen chosen the trials and difficulties that you've gone through. Some of you would not choose the trials and difficulties that you're going through right now, but you can recognize, especially if it's past tense, you can recognize, you know what? I would not have chosen that for myself, but I experienced a peace of God in that moment that I otherwise would have missed. I experienced the goodness of God. I experienced the peace of God, the strength of God, and the comfort that only He can bring in those trials. God says, I don't want you happy. I want you more than happy. I want to bless you. I want your life filled with joy no matter what is going on in this world. And I've got one last story and then we'll close out. And Max Lucado, famous author, written a lot of books. And one of his books, I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to make it a little bit edgier though, because you guys are kind of an edgy crowd this morning. And so Max Lucado talks about, he says, if you take a fish out of water and you put it on the beach, would the fish be happy? Yes or no? That's not a rhetorical question. You got to come help me here. If you take a fish out of the water and place him on the beach, you take him down to the water, put him right on the beach, would the fish be happy?
No.
Okay, let's say you take a wad of $100,000 cash and you give it to the fish. Is the fish happy?
No.
Let's take it a step further. What if we give the fish a lounge chair, a Corona beer, and a Playfish magazine? Is the fish happy?
No.
Some of you hesitated a little bit too long there. Like you're not sure. Look at the tail on that fish. Are those gills real or fake? Who even cares? Is the fish happy? No, of course not. Why? Because the fish was not created for the beach. The fish was created for the ocean. You may have everything this world has to offer, but you will not ultimately be happy unless you have Jesus. Why? Because you were not created for earth. You were created for heaven. And that is exactly what Jesus Christ has secured for you. You are only here for a little while. You were created to glorify the God of the universe. He is not here to serve us. We are here to serve Him. Lower your expectations of earth. Lower your expectations of the things of this world. There is no new car. There is no new boat. There is no perfect spouse. There is no perfectly groomed kids. There is no Super Bowl championship, Patriots fans, that is going to truly make you happy in this world, because you were not designed for this world. You were designed for heaven. And some of you know it. You have partied your brains out. You have consumed everything this world has to consume. And you've done it not in moderation. You have done all of these things. You have rearranged your body. You have traded in girlfriends and boyfriends for others. You've traded this job for that job. And at the end of the day, you see, nothing in this world fulfills me. Nothing in this world truly satisfies me and give me the joy that I can only get in Jesus. And that is the truth, because you were created not for this place, but for eternity. And Jesus Christ, who was man, who lived a blessed life, but not always a happy life. Jesus experienced a life of much joy, of much peace, but He also experienced pain. He experienced loss. He gave His life for you and would one day rise. But He experienced the worst that this world could offer. And yet, every moment He was blessed in this life. One of my favorite verses is Hebrews 12:2 that says, we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author or the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For, look at this, the joy set before Him. He did not look at the present day circumstances. It was not a happy time for Jesus on that cross, but for the joy set before Him. And you want to know what that joy was? That one day you and He would be together in eternity. That's the joy. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God in the darkest, most pain-filled, most trial time of Jesus' life. He looked to the joy before Him. You know what would have been awesome? I think Jesus proclaimed, I am the King of all kings. What would have been cool, what would have made me happy in that moment, is when people were mocking and when they were spitting at Jesus, and then when they were saying, hey, if you really are the King of kings, come down from that cross. You know what would have been made Jesus probably really happy in that moment? What I would do if somebody's telling that to me, I'd have got down off that cross because I could. And I'd have said, what now? What now? But that's not what Jesus did. Jesus hung on that cross, his arms still spread out, because for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorned its shame, and would one day rise from the dead so that one day you and I can meet our Maker. And so keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Look to the Son. Look to the King of Kings. And one day you will meet your Maker and you will hear your Maker say, "Well done, my good and my faithful servant. Well done." I don't care if you're happy. I want you to be blessed. And we are all blessed because Jesus Christ is in this place and he's given us grace and he secured us for heaven, which is our home. Come on, let's worship our God again and worship like you mean it once more.
Oh, we look to the